4, it was about guarding your heart. And we said that, yes, I love this so much. He is paying such beautiful attention. It is all about wisdom. Proverbs is about wisdom. And we were saying this little boy stares at you with such wise eyes. It is incredible. So in pursuit of wisdom, it is important to guard your heart. And we said your heart is like a phone, it listens to everything. So we have to be very careful what you listen to, what you look at. It's about setting your GPS. To set your GPS in the first place, you need to check that it's charged, otherwise it won't work. You need to check that you set the right location. And then actually you need to listen and follow the instructions of your GPS. I have posted a couple of check yourself points on the group last week. If you want to go check on that, that's a summary basically of what I shared. And of course, in the week after sharing, I was really challenged on everything that I spoke about. Those moments of discipline escalated so badly, and it was really, really hectic. And I had to remind myself that God asks us to keep our hearts tender so that we can pay attention to the discipling moment that is the discipline. It is easier said than done, but that is why we are here, so that we can learn how to tap into that. And we are very fortunate today that we get to listen to you, someone who is more experienced. And I think wisdom comes with age for a reason. Let's introduce our beautiful speaker.
So to introduce you today, Georgina, just hold on one moment while I just...
Sure, it's been terrible for me to drive here. So, it's an incredible privilege to introduce you this morning. Sure, I've been praying so hard that I don't get all emotional. But, just to introduce you and perhaps, just tell you something about Georgina and the incredible foundation that she has been to our family. And just thinking about it is that so many times in our marriage, we did everything the wrong way around. And she didn't get the opportunity to go and do the things that her heart desired. And so many times in our lives, she was asked to, if she would like the opportunity to go and do and follow her heart's desires. And every time she would come back and she would say that this is not my time. This is the time to pour out into my family. And I've just seen immense sacrifices that you've made and the foundation that you have been to our family for us all to go out and achieve. And the role that you've played within the family has been not always recognized as spectacular as some of the children have gone out and achieved and been recognized for. So it's an immense privilege for me to just say that none of that would have happened if it wasn't for the sacrifice that you made. And I just want to share with you two things that has been so evident in Georgina's life is her consistency. And I just want to share with you in Psalm 1, it says, a person who is steady and consistent is a person, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. And I think your family and the fruit that they have produced is just all due to the fact that you have been so consistent in their lives. And then perseverance, sure, I've seen this lady persevere in prayer many times for our family. And in Hebrews 10 verse 36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And yesterday I was busy at home. I kind of worked from home. And Georgina asked me about my day and what I was going to do. And I kind of gave her a brief overview. And she said to me, do you think you'll have time for coffee? And I said to her, absolutely, I'll make time for coffee. And my heart's desire is for you that with all the input that you've had into our family and all the sacrifice that you've made, that your family would always be available for a coffee. So it's an absolute privilege. And my prayer, if you just come up here and I'll just pray with you again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the incredible woman that Georgina has been in our family. I thank you for the massive heart that you've given her, for the love, to love her family so unconditionally, never wanting anything in return. That she's just been so consistent and persevering in relationships, Lord. I don't think you've made her such a relational person, such an amazing helper in our family. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And I know, Lord, you have blessed her with a heart for young families, for young women and young families. And I just pray, Lord, that the wisdom that you've shared with her in this week, that you would just, that it would be a blessing to those who are hearing it this morning. Will you just open their hearts and their minds for what she has to share with them from your wisdom, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, my daughter. I think Annie put this. Yeah. Well, we can go home now.
I got a message from her husband and her this morning, and I knew it was her. So I still was going to say thank you for reminding Dominic to wish me. So thanks, Tay. You're a honey. Oh, okay. That was compose myself. Somebody's name, Tay, is here? Stacey. So, good morning, lovely ladies. Today I am going to be talking about Proverbs 5. And before I start talking to you, I'd just like to say that I know I'm talking to mostly married women, but there are some single women. And to the single women, I do pray and trust with you that I'm sure one day you would actually like to be married. If you haven't been married before, and if you have been married before, that you will find Mr. Right at some point in this journey that we are on. So it's with that heart that I pray you'll hear this message. So Proverbs 5 is about a father speaking to his son, warning him about an adulterous woman. And at first glance, it might seem that this passage is aimed at men. So you might be thinking, what does this passage have to do with us women? She, that woman, is anything that seduces you away from covenant, truth, and God's design. In life, she can be temptation dressed as opportunity, or pleasure without responsibility, or a shortcut that bypasses God's way. Examples beyond sexuality could be business deals that look profitable but are unethical, or relationships that feel exciting, but they pull you away from your values, or habits that promise relief, but bring bondage. But here's the truth. This passage is not just about a woman out there. It's about the human heart in here. And it's about how any of us can slowly drift away from what is good, what is sacred, and what God has given us. Proverbs 5, 1 to 6 deals with the nature of temptation. Listen to how temptation is described. Her lips drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter. Temptation never announces itself as destructive. It will feel sweet or exciting or comforting, even deserved. And for women, temptation doesn't always look like a dramatic affair. Often it begins emotionally. Someone listens to you. Someone affirms you. Or someone notices what your husband has stopped noticing. And slowly something begins to drift. Remember, as we know, not everything that feels good is good for you. Verses 7 to 14 deal with the danger of this drift. This passage says, keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. And that sounds extreme, but it is actually wisdom, because no one wakes up one day and decides to destroy their marriage. It's a slow drift. It looks like conversations that go a little too deep, or messages you wouldn't want your husband to read, comparisons that you don't say out loud, small dissatisfaction that grows quietly. Contempt breeds contempt. Affairs don't start in the bedroom. They start in the heart and then in the mind. And you don't fall into infidelity, you drift into it. So verses 9 to 14 tell us about the cost that we don't see. This passage is very honest about consequences. It reads, you will give your honor to others and your years to one who is cruel. Sin always hides the cost. But the cost is real. Broken trust, emotional damage, impact on children, loss of peace, loss of intimacy with God, and always deep regret. The enemy sells freedom, but he delivers bondage. But then right in the middle of the warning in this passage, we find something beautiful. Verses 15 to 19 tell us that God's way is better. It says, drink water from your own cistern and rejoice in the wife of your youth. So ladies, this is not just a warning passage, it's an invitation to enjoy your marriage, to invest in your marriage. So one of the things that we did in our marriage, I was going to say my husband Stefanos, for those of you who don't know, but now everybody knows. But anyway, what we would do in our marriage, that we would often go for counseling. And when people would say to us, oh my goodness, you know, why are you going for counseling? There's no shame in that. And it was when we could not reach resolution, we sought help. And quite frankly, marriage is very hard work. It's the hardest thing it's harder than raising children. And believe it or not, as the years go, it is very hard. So we needed all the help we could get from people who could coach us or mentor us to be able to build something life-giving and strong. So we've been married for 37 years this year. And we have been through many, many ups and downs. But we have committed and we've prayed to work through our marriage continually. So for you to invest in your marriage means choosing to engage emotionally with your husbands, communicating your needs with love instead of withdrawing, creating connection intentionally. Marriage is not meant to be endured. It's meant to be cultivated and enjoyed. And I can honestly say we enjoy our marriage. It has been hard work. We have had many ups and downs, but we love each other fiercely. So a few years ago, I asked Stefanos if he thought we had a good marriage. I was feeling a bit dissatisfied with the status quo. And he said, as I'm sure most men would say, that he thought it was wonderful. So I was very surprised to hear that I didn't think it was all that good. I longed for something more, and I didn't want to settle for an average marriage. I felt in my spirit that God wanted more for us. So to soften the blow for him a bit, I said, "And we have a good marriage, but I want a perfect marriage." I also realized that on this side of heaven, that is nearly impossible. But it communicated to him my feelings. And this then began a journey for us of really digging deep and seeking God on what he wants for us in our marriage. So much so that since then, God has opened a door for us to mentor and work through marriage material with quite a few couples over the years. And this, in turn, has had a profound effect on our marriage because you can never stop learning and growing. In verses 21 to 23, we are told that God sees with love. So the passage ends with this: "For your ways are in full view of the Lord." This is not about fear. It's about awareness. God sees your struggles. He sees your disappointments and your desires, and he cares deeply about your marriage. He's not trying to restrict your joy. He's trying to protect it. And he's wanting to build something eternal in you. So let me make this practical, which Marix has touched on, but I mean, Proverbs is like that. There's a lot of repeats. So as we say, take heed and listen. So firstly, guard your heart. Be mindful of emotional connections with other men and women. Friends who are not for you and your husband are not good friends. Set boundaries in conversations and messaging. Ask, would I be comfortable if my husband saw this? Invest in your marriage. Prioritize time together. So how this looked for us as a couple when our children were little is we had strict routines and disciplines. And that's mentioned in verse 12. We would make sure our children would be in bed by 7 as they got a bit older, 8. Whether they were sleeping or not was irrelevant. It was then our time to connect and chat after the busyness of the day. And it affected our marriage for the good. We found it really benefited our relationship greatly because to not have that continual connection, umpteen things can then get in the way. You start to feel dissatisfied and these things creep in. So that, all of that is then guarding your heart. And speak life over your husband. Speak the opposite of perhaps what you are feeling. Call out the gold in him. All husbands want to feel appreciated and valued. Also, address issues early before resentment grows. Check your heart regularly. Am I seeking outside what I should be building inside? And am I nurturing connection or distance? So Proverbs 5 is not just saying avoid the wrong thing. It is saying build the right thing. Be a woman who guards her heart, who honors her covenant, and who invests deeply in her marriage. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5 says, "May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and perseverance." And for 37 years of marriage and 39 that we've been together, there's been a lot of persevering. But the fruit is there, and we are so blessed to be the recipients now of that fruit. So remember, strong marriages don't happen by accident. They are built intentionally and daily with wisdom. And I mentioned that we work through marriage material with some couples, and currently we're working through this book called Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, as you can see here. And we actually met with the couples last night that we are currently seeing. And I just thought I want to just end off with this passage, which is about marriage. And I just thought it was so beautiful. It's a relationship that we cherish and we thank God for every day. Rather than spending time wondering if we married the right person, we can take all that energy and work on creating a beautiful story of how two imperfect and seemingly incompatible people made their marriage into something amazing. Creating kids, finding purpose, worshiping God, and being loyal to each other to the very end. Half the battle, then, is just keeping our story alive, refusing to quit, believing that if we keep hanging in there, we're giving God more time and more opportunities to work His grace into our lives. It's not easy, but it's sacred, and it's strong, and it leaves a lasting legacy. Thanks, ladies.
Georgina, you are such a beautiful picture for us, and having Stephanus here as well, it's very good for us to have solid pictures in our minds when we think about things. And I loved the, you turned our attention to that Proverbs 5 doesn't just deal with beware and the caution of what could trip us up, but it's Solomon or whoever wrote this beautiful part of scripture, it's imploring with us to rather go after the best that God has for us. And the warning is clear, but there's a challenge for us to focus on what we can work at. That's the remedy. The remedy to being careful of choosing the way of folly and the enticement of folly is to actually to invest into what God has given us. And I really do want to encourage the young marriages here. You do get to a stage where the busyness of life comes and whittles away at something precious. And the warnings of really practical things. Be careful who your Facebook and Instagram people are that you follow. We have really dealt with not one, not two, but many marriages that have broken up because they've connected with an old friend from school days, years later. And you know what? That old friend remembers the old person you were, the teen, the 20-something, where life was just without any commitments, was free. Be careful of those things and pursue and invest into so that you too can have a husband who would stand up before you and introduce you with love pouring out of his heart, with his eyes full of a devotion to this woman, with a gratefulness in his heart. You too can have that. And so I want to say to you, invest. You know, this scripture was written in a time, in a place where water was very precious. And in those verses about marriage that Georgina quoted about, verse 15 and 16 up to 20, the great remedy that God gives us of investing into our own marriages talks about water, the life-giving source. Now, it wasn't like us, we can just turn a tap on and hopefully the municipality has sent water to Pretoria East, and generally we have water in our taps. But they used to have to go to the well. They had to draw their water. And if that well dried up, there was nothing for them. They ceased to exist. They could not live. They were in the desert place. And so actually what your marriage can be, you've got to make sure that that fresh living water, they knew these words were precious. And we saw that displayed beautifully today. So I want to encourage you to remember this picture of this amazing couple standing up before you, but they have made sure that their well has stayed fresh. Their remedy is a good marriage so that they'd be able to journey away from the temptations that have come. All of us have temptation. It's going to come. But make sure you invest into your marriage. Then your children will grow up in a secure household. May God bless each one of you. And as Georgina started out, she beautifully just reminded even those who are single, in God there's always a hope. And those of you who are going through difficult marriages right now, there is always hope with God. That is what we hold on to, is our hope in God. God bless you. Enjoy your time together. A couple of new moms here. Meet them and make them feel welcome. And we'll see you next week. No, second. We're off. Next week, we're not here. It's the only Thursday we're not meeting. because of the holiday, and there's one more a little bit later on in a month's time. But we won't see you next week. We'll see you the following week. God bless you.
Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you, my dear.
My dear.